Do you ever wonder why some brands stick with us, but others just fade into the distance? The truth is, branding is more than just a logo, and it's not just a catchy slogan. It's about the way it makes us feel. The best brands, they don't just sell a product or a service, but they connect with us on a deeper level. In this episode, I sit down with Bree Shoup. She's the VP of Marketing at Invera Systems, and we talk about the psychology of storytelling, why it works, how it drives consumer behavior, and how you can use it to build a brand that actually resonates. So if you want to create a brand that people actually remember and care about, this is the episode for you. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Making Varsity. My name is Brad Chandler, your host. And today I'm here with the VP of Marketing from Invera Systems, which is a security software company, and also co-founder and background partner of The Craft Co., Bree Shoup. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so excited to chat with you. I know we've kept in touch, but I've been really looking forward just to getting to hear all about what you're doing and have an awesome conversation today.
Absolutely. So, you know, we met actually at church, and you were one of the speakers for the internship program that I got to lead around leadership development. And it was so fun because I think that you were on a panel called Doubt Yourself and Do It Anyway, sort of the those first steps of what it looks like to be an entrepreneur. And your journey is really just fascinating, just weaving in storytelling and marketing. And you've been on the corporate side, you've been on the entrepreneurial side, and in sort of agency world as well. And so I wanted you, just Bree, just give us a little bit of a snapshot of just, you know, hey, who you are, how did you find yourself getting into brand strategy? That's what we're going to talk about today, is storytelling and brand strategy. But just give us a little bit of your origin story and your path into marketing.
Oh my goodness. Okay. I'll try to keep it short because it's definitely not a short one. But Doubt Yourself, Do It Anyway is essentially my motto for my entire story. Yeah. So really quickly, I guess my career with storytelling actually, I would definitely say there were some foundations of it for me growing up. But then in terms of career, I started out in television. So I worked in the media as an associate producer. And I actually, for a long time, thought that that was the path I was going to go down. I really wanted to be a journalist because I wanted to share people's stories. Mm. I mean, across the world, I was like, I want to go here and I want to tell this story. I want to go here and I want to tell that story. So I really had a passion for sharing other people's stories, and I grew up around the media. So that kind of, it seemed like a natural fit at first. Found out maybe that wasn't the path I wanted to go down with media, and also had some personal things happen. And so I wanted to make a transition into marketing for a business and really work on leveraging what their individual story was. And I had some personal conditions at the time. And so I was really looking for a needle in a haystack. Mm. And I, through a series of connections, I received an email contact for a person who ended up becoming my boss at Invera. And I, no joke, sent him an email that said, "Hey, this is my resume. This is what I want to do. I hear you may be looking for someone to do this, but maybe not," because they didn't have any official posting or anything. And I was like, "But if you want to chat, here's my contact info." And so I sent that email off and really not expecting to hear anything back, because that, I mean, it's a cold email. How often do we really get responses on those? Mm-hmm. And so did that, and I heard back. And I ended up taking a position with Invera, and I spent 6 years there really growing in marketing and business development in my position there. Mm. And it was a small company at the time, has grown a lot, is still smaller, but is definitely growing a lot, especially as of recently. Mm. And but I was ready for a new chapter in 2022. And So I decided to really go on that new journey. And but at that time, I had no idea what that was going to look like. So I resigned from my position at Invera, and I didn't have a job lined up. I knew I was going to take some time off. I went on a vacation with my husband.
Come on.
And then I started freelancing. So that was kind of I was just dipping toes back in. I was freelancing. I was doing some ghostwriting for people. I was doing some editing. I was doing some marketing. It was just kind of a hodgepodge of things that I had experience and interest in for a variety of different either individuals or businesses. And in the process of this, my mom was also freelancing, and we have similar backgrounds, but they're not the same. She has a strategic communications background and heavy PR and media experience. But all that said, we had a lot of projects that we could bounce ideas off of one another. And in the midst of this, we were sort of approached by a small business looking for marketing and communication support. And we said, okay, is this our opportunity to really partner up and make this official? Mm. And so, long story short, that's what we did. And that's kind of how the Craft Co. was formed. I will say she had always wondered if she would start her own business being the Craft Co. So she had already, purchased the name, all of that, but it just kind of been living out there.
Right.
And so we really embarked on building our own boutique agency for marketing and communications, mm-hmm. working with individuals, businesses, small and large, nonprofit organizations, and growing that to a team of four. It was so exciting. It still is so exciting to see all that they're doing. But at the same time, I had been working as an independent contractor with Invera. So I was very much in tune with how they were changing over the past couple of years. Sure. And in late 2024, I was given the opportunity to come back in a full-time capacity to really scale their marketing as well as their business development and sales enablement. And it's a really unique and interesting story for me, having seen them from a totally, now like 8+ years ago, and what that company has accomplished and done over the past couple of years, and really the growth that we saw them take in 2024. And so I'm honored that they invited me back to really be a part of that and these next steps in their marketing.
I love that. And I think your entrepreneurial journey and really your career journey as a whole, it speaks to the whole idea of storytelling and character development, because that really is what it's like when you're progressing through a career, is that your story weaves in with other stories. There's other protagonists, there's other antagonists, right? There's settings, sometimes there's a move involved. I just recently relocated. But it's all part of really just being open and being fluid to the next right step. We talk about that all the time. But and I think part of it, I saw you posted on LinkedIn a couple of days ago, just about the importance of having a growth mindset. We couldn't be on a podcast and we not talk a little bit about leadership, right? So sure. talk a little bit about how the growth mindset has been so important in your career, and then we'll shift into some of the brand strategy, marketing nerd talk that I'm excited to get into with you. So,
to your point, it's all about the journey, and I feel like having a growth posture from the get-go is so important for your mindset. But with all of that, so a couple of things, I guess. I will say, one, I'm super fortunate and blessed to have had leaders who really encouraged that. They knew that I would make mistakes, but that I would learn from them, and they would be there to support all of that. And I think that that's a part of having a growth mindset, is knowing that there are going to be missteps and you can still be nervous of them, because nobody wants that. That's not fun. But at the same time, when they do happen, to have that mindset of, okay, what what can I take away from this? Or what did I take away from that experience? And really, really building on it. I think that that's like how we evolve and how we learn to adapt is really by setting that framework from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say too, that even just my upbringing, like contributed to that early on was having that sort of mindset, really being able to pivot and adapt. And I've just continued to build on that. And like, there are things that I've already, I would say, had mistakes this year. And very quickly on, I was like, okay, but we're going to learn from this. Like, we're going to grow, we're going to pivot. And that can completely shape a project. It can shape your entire career. And like you said, really being open to different ideas, different perspectives as well is a huge part of that, I would say. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that you're jumping at every single trend or advice that comes your way. There's some compartmentalizing that you need to do, but still being really open to different ideas.
Right.
Really being open to receiving that growth and those opportunities as well.
Yeah. And I think that's how I prefer really to approach, you know, business partnerships, relationships as well, is more of a long-term thing where, you know, you're not just trying to get to a deliverable or just bring the project. It's understanding and setting the expectation even for the client. Hey, there's going to be mistakes that are made along the way, right? We're going to learn from them, and the information and the data that we're going to get from those mistakes is going to teach us more about how to be successful, you know, in the future, you know. And so, you know, with that, I want you to talk just a little bit about really your side of things and your approach to marketing. I think, you know, marketing is changing all the time, right? There's always a new app. There's always a new process. There's always a new framework. But storytelling is as old as time. Right. And I know that that's the approach that you prefer to, you know, approach marketing from. And so I want you to get into some of the framework of that. What's your framework for storytelling as it relates to brand strategy? And then we'll get into some of the tactics, because I'm sure a lot of business owners are maybe suspicious when you say an artsy term like storytelling when it comes to marketing, because there's a math side of marketing. There's a magic side of marketing. And so I want you to just talk a little bit about, okay, I love that journey from journalism into what you're doing now with marketing. Now, how does that storytelling, that, like you said, that always wanting to pursue a story, how is that translating into sort of your day-to-day work with brand strategy now?
Yeah. Oh, that's such a layered question. And I'll just add to that, that's one of the things I love about marketing, though, is it's this really amazing blend of creativity and stories with analytics, because when you can see the data match with a story, oh, it is just chef's kiss, like so impactful. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And general, like very impactful for that business or that person too that you've been working with. So when it comes to storytelling, like you said, it's a tale as old as time. And despite the fact that everything else is changing on the tactical side, and we're constantly talking about algorithms or improving a strategy, people connect with stories. And so as a brand or a business, you're looking for a way to connect with your customer. And so that is generally where I like to start when possible, is really having a deep understanding of the different audiences, their customer personas, what are the driving factors behind why they either need your business or should trust your business, need to come in. And I'll just add this side note, and I've been thinking about this a lot too. When often, especially with Craftco, I used to come across people that would say, well, everyone is my audience. Mm-hmm. And that's the first misstep, because there, you really can always narrow it down to a target audience or a couple. And I think that that's really important. One thing my mom always says is it's like the halo effect. If you're really targeted with one audience and what and that one thing you're really good at, it will expand beyond. It will expand to other people. If you have other facets of your business too, people, if they trust you on that one core element of your brand, then they will trust you with the other elements as well. So being focused is really important with that. So, but I'm kind of going down the other sides of that. But the first part is really understanding the customer. What are they feeling? What are they trying to solve? Where are they at? Where are they consuming their media is another part. So Craftco specifically, and then even on the Invera side, getting back into it, really doing like a deep dive into the customer personas and what their ultimate journey is like, so that I can really speak with them and connect with them. And that's where storytelling comes in. Is people today connect with stories. They connect with other, they connect with similar experiences. They connect with similar feelings. And it's not to say that you can't use data to evoke some sort of emotion, but I really find that that storytelling helps to build trust with an audience, and that is really key to them connecting with a brand as well.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's say a small business owner is listening to this. And they say, Bree, that's great. That sounds awesome. I want pretty words on my website as much as anybody else. How does that make me money? Like, I want to understand, how does that drive the bottom line? It's great. I want people to feel trust and, you know, love my brand and all these things. But at the end of the day, hey, I'm just trying to sell a product. We're just trying to get a service done. I mean, really kind of speak to that on the grassroots level. And the reason I'm asking is I've had lots of sales calls where it's been very clear that what that business needs is they need that cornerstone of a brand strategy. And kind of when you approach them with that, you're almost always met with a level of suspicion, right? Because their perspective on it is, well, no, I'm trying to get the results. And this is it's more of a long play. And it's I think of it like building a house. It's like, you know, it's, you're not going to see the studs go up all the way. You're not going to start putting your own roof. No, it's digging down deep. And that foundation work is the longest part of the process. And so put that into perspective. Say you're speaking to a small business owner and they're suspicious about all this storytelling talk, right? And then how does that make me money?
Yeah. So I would say that with that topic specifically, part of mapping your customer journey is that conversion. And so identifying specifically, okay, what are those conversion factors that we can track to really see the ROI? And you're making me think of a business that that Craftco works with and that I'm super familiar with, where I would say they were kind of suspicious of it at first. And even to this day, I know that there are still conversations even surrounding like, well, we just want our social media to go viral. Okay.
Oh, it's the worst.
It's the worst. And yeah. Like, but ultimately it's like, okay, well, in terms of converting, which for the sake of this business, part of the conversion is bringing that person into the store specifically. So going viral isn't going to help a brick and mortar business if someone from California sees it, and because they go viral when their business is located in Michigan. Mm-hmm. So really part of mapping your customer journey is then identifying, okay, what are those conversion factors that we really can track? And it is so much easier to have a game plan so that you can see what's working really well, as opposed to just like throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Yeah.
It's going to be really hard to track that as a business, to see what is actually driving what is driving you making money. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal at the end of the day for the business. No, we want to see you be profitable. We want to see your business succeed. And if we as marketers can also identify, okay, what actually converted all of that, it's going to help us in that big picture setup. Like you were saying, it's a long game. Yeah. It is. I think a lot of people think it's really short, but there are so many different elements that we're looking way beyond this week, this month, even this year. Mm. We're looking beyond that for this business. And to actually identify that map and the strategy for your brand and for your customers is going to help with not only making sure you're consistent mm. with your brand and your messaging, which is also very important, because if you want people to trust and recognize your brand, those elements are really critical, but actually knowing, okay, what are we doing to drive awareness? What are our conversion factors that we can track and map? And then when they're performing and they're doing really well, you might say, oh, well, we might want to allocate more for that specifically to yeah. really increase that. And I'm also going to say too, and I know this isn't what everyone wants here, mm-hmm. but you're also going to identify the ones that aren't working. And that's just as important as what is working.
Yeah.
And if you're throwing it at a wall and not really mapping out like what your plan is, it's going to be really, really hard to identify both sides.
100%. And you're right. I mean, especially, you know, you really made me laugh just with the viral conversation, because it's like, hey, do you want to go viral or do you want to make money? Like, you know, and you know, for me, like, I specialize in podcast consulting, you know, and that really is sort of the direction that it seems that, you know, this agency is heading. And, you know, I used the analogy recently on another show of like, okay, let's say that you were, you know, there's a local business in town. They actually host these like cooking classes. This is this really cool experience, like world-class kind of Food Network style kitchen. And, you know, the owner of it, he's like, got a great career in leadership. He's led a lot of businesses, you know, sold a lot of businesses. And the reality is if he were to just start a podcast where he were to interview different, you know, restaurant owners, or he were to interview different leaders, you know, of different companies within the area, he would be absolutely blown away at the number of bookings that cooking class, you know, this experience would get, just because now those leaders are being exposed to that environment, right? And then they're booking it out for their Christmas party, for their corporate celebration, for whatever. You know, that's something that, is that show ever going to go viral? Is a short form clip on that show ever going to go viral? Probably not. But how does it drive it? You know, I think that's the key. And that's what, I think that's what you're saying, is helping that business owner understand the customer journey.
Understand the customer journey, identify real goals mm-hmm. that you can actually measure as well. It mm-hmm. is a part of that. You bring up just a really good point on that specific example too, talking about today and storytelling in general. Today, we're seeing so many large brands be really successful because of the personal brands associated mm. with those bigger businesses.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to continue. It's really showing today that as a whole, in large part, we're connecting with individuals and their stories and their authenticity, which I know that word has been like thrown around like crazy over the past couple of years, mm-hmm. but that is what people are connecting with. They're connecting with real people who are honest. And so it validates to the storytelling side of branding.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk a little bit about just the human psychology behind this, because like we said before, there's a math and a magic side of this. And, you know, and I heard you say this recently, that it really is, really, there's this almost this fascination behind human psychology, because that, I think that's what makes marketing so fun. I think that's what draws storytellers like us to, you know, this industry, so to speak. Talk a little bit about how that plays into the conversation, right? There's the logic, but then there's the feeling, you know? So talk a little bit about that feeling of the brand as it relates to human psychology.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm no expert, but I've always been fascinated by this. I mean, even in in college, psychology was my outside concentration because I'm just so interested in how the mind works. But from a marketer's standpoint, you're always looking at the data and the logic and the tactical side, the strategy, everything about it. But on the flip side, when it comes to the emotions, human psychology and having an understanding of it tells us like consumer behavior. It can tell us a little bit more about motivations. It can help us understand the decision-making process as well. And so those are all, I wouldn't even say you don't need to go like all of a sudden study in depth and, you know, have a psychology degree, but there's so many resources out there too that can help you to better understand your customer as well. And that's going to then translate into your messaging and how you communicate with those customers. How you craft your messaging for them, specifically the types of experiences that will resonate with them emotionally, tying back into that feeling. It is really important because at the end of the day, you can almost always drive either a sale or a conversion, however you want to label it, back to some sort of emotion. I'll just take Invera, for example, because it's obviously top of mind for me. But if we're thinking about why someone may need security software and technology, you could just be like, oh, well, they need cameras. Okay.
Yeah.
But why do they need cameras? Is it because they don't feel safe? They don't feel safe. They don't feel protected. There's a deeper emotion behind that. And that's
peace of mind.
Yes. Peace of mind is huge. So there's a feeling behind what your customer or potential customer is experiencing. And at the end of the day, like you want to connect with them on that too, but you have the solution for them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's also speaking a little bit to not just trying to solve the problem, but also the aspirational identity of whatever the customer is. I am always fascinated by dudes who carry around knives. I don't carry around a knife. I have no reason to carry around a knife. But there's a company called Gerber, and they make these like really lightweight, like really cool, like tactical knives or whatever. And they have this whole brand messaging around hello trouble. Like this whole idea of like, I'm going to confront trouble. I'm going to be this kind of person that is bold and passionate and not afraid of being like a little bit of a troublemaker. And for me, like that kind of messaging appeals to me. And I'm like, I might have to go buy a Gerber knife, right? Like that's like an aspirational identity. And I think some of that is around, it's literally, that's just words. Like those are just words, but it associates that brand and makes me think of them in a completely different way.
And I mean, that is, words are really powerful. Mm. And especially when you string words together a certain way, they're really, really powerful. And that's part of what it's all about. But to your point, how you're like, oh, I resonate with that and I connect with that, even though I never have before, it tells me, okay, they spent a lot of time thinking about who their target audience is specifically for that. Because I hear that. And then on the female perspective, I'm like, well, if I carried a knife, it's for protection. It's definitely not for trouble. They know who their audience is. And so that's what they're speaking to. And then staying focused on that for any brand is crucial if you want people to recall that.
What if I told you that your voice could be the most powerful asset in your business? And what better way to use your voice than starting a podcast? In fact, a comprehensive podcast strategy could be the missing link in your business's marketing mix. But how do you get started and how do you make sure that it actually works? That's where my team at Made by Varsity can help. Made by Varsity is a full-service podcast agency that helps brands and entrepreneurs establish trust, build connections, and grow their business. So whether you need coaching and consulting to get set up, or you need turnkey solutions to manage and market your show from week to week, we've got you covered. Just head over to madebyvarsity.com and book a call with me today. All right, back to the episode. Let me ask you a question. So coming back to the psychology standpoint, I just think about kind of the field of clinical psychology. You know, one of the, I guess, methods or practices would be something like CBT, so cognitive behavioral therapy, which in a nutshell, is how your thoughts, emotions, and actions are sort of all connected, how they all lead to one another. So if you have certain thoughts, it will affect your emotions, and then those emotions will, you know, affect your actions. The thinking being that if you can intervene at the thought level, that it can change behaviors, right? So change your thoughts, change your life. Talk a little bit about, like, I mean, have you taken a brand or businesses through things like education? So educating the customers to maybe change their thinking around a particular product or a particular lifestyle that would cause them to have different action, call to action, a different behavior. So changing that customer's thoughts to eventually lead to them making different buying decisions.
One of the brands that that Craftco has worked with is a health and wellness brand, mm-hmm. so nutrition-based. And there are so many different directions you can go when it comes to that specifically. And so for a long time, we spent months actually helping them, like, really identify who they are, who they want to be, what their goals are. It's not something, like we've already said, that you do overnight. You know, you don't sit down and say, like, okay, and tomorrow we're going to update our logo and this is going to be us. It doesn't happen. But really, so part of what they have been working to embrace and set to help set themselves apart too is embracing the educational side of nutrition as it relates specifically to the products that they have in their store, the other items that they provide. And that's also too, like, something that was unique about them, a unique selling point for them as well. And I will, in full honesty, I know that it's evolving for them today. It's not about perfection. It's about progress. And that's what they've really been living that to help educate people about the nutrition and health and wellness space, but as it relates specifically to how they work with the community to do that, and lifting up the different stories that come into their store when they work with people for all types of health goals. It's not just your standard, you know, I want to lose weight. They work with people with certain medical conditions that need to have a certain diet. And so I would say it's been a really interesting challenge, but also so fun to see them, like, just knowing where they've come in the past year and a half with crafting their messaging around ingredients so that people really know what they're consuming when it comes to their products. And it's been really, really fun to watch that grow too. I'm keeping it vague because I don't want to, like, totally throw them out into the universe for that's been a really interesting one. I've had another one too where and this is more in the tech space. It's not in Vera, but in the tech space, a business and brand that I worked with where they are still constantly up against a misconception in the industry. One that just think, like, everyone in the country is like, oh yeah, that's the cause of that problem, even though it's not the majority. That's not the main cause of the problem. And so that was even something that I learned in working with them. When they told me, they were like, oh, that's really only 2% of what causes that to happen and why people have those problems. And I thought, oh my gosh, well, if that's only 2%, then we have a huge opportunity just to, like, re-educate people on the value of this product, but also just being educated about it as well. Mm-hmm. And that was one of their main goals, was to really be focused on educating people, not just about their products, but they wanted people to have a true understanding of, if they were going to purchase a device like theirs, that the impact that it would have beyond, you know, just one specific example that people think, they'll often say, oh, I don't need that because that doesn't happen in my area. And mm-hmm. it's like, well, just because it doesn't happen in your area, it's not the majority of the cause. So that was a really, really interesting one too. It's each one has like their unique challenges, and you uncover something different with all of them. But that's also been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Being in the space too.
I love that. And I think that, you know, we often, you know, underestimate our, you know, own expertise, you know, and we think, well, everybody knows that. So whatever, you know, whatever industry you're in, whatever, you know, business you're in, you're like, oh, you know, everybody knows what gear you should buy, you know, for a podcast, or everybody knows that like copywriting is important in business or whatever. And, you know, one thing that I've found that, you know, really builds trust with customers and clients is just when you answer those kind of what would seem like basic elementary questions, but you do it in a way that seeks to serve. You do it in a way that doesn't make somebody else feel dumb, right? That you're sort of inviting them into a process, and that process of educating them builds a level of trust. It's incredibly powerful, you know. And I love what you said too, and I want to shift gears a little bit here about how words are powerful. I think one of the cool things about your agency is that you've represented a lot of authors with their book launches. And obviously that, you know, includes thousands and thousands of words of copywriting. You know, I know you were super involved with my former pastor, Pastor Q, and his book launch with editing How You Start Your Day, Set Your Day. And I want to ask you, because that's such a unique part of your business, even if it doesn't large, you know, represent like a large chunk of it. But how has that process of working with authors and being in kind of that literary agenting space, how has that those skills and things that you've picked up around storytelling influenced and impacted how you've also led small businesses and other brands down that path of messaging?
I will just say on that note too, like, I've always been, I mean, from being really little, I was just an avid reader. Like, I was fascinated with stories of all kinds and the structure of them. Mm-hmm. And so I've always kind of had this like interest in the book publishing space in some capacity, and slowly started to learn more about that as well through various ways. But being able to work with authors on their books also, I mean, it challenges me to understand different writing styles, to understand different audiences there as well, because you're taking into consideration some of the same things that you would with brands. You're thinking about the audience for that book and what words specifically will resonate with the people that you want to read that either can take away from the message in some way, whether it's a constructive, like how you start your day, set your day, and really wanting to impact people's lives from setting their day from a certain space, or from a fiction narrative. You know, there's two sides to that. One, I love being able to help lift up an author's voice where they have a vision and they have this idea and they've put in so much time. But being an author can feel really lonely, and yet the most successful authors have a team. And so I love being a part of that team to really help them craft the best way to bring their idea to paper with the best words. And we're thinking about the reader too, you know, who is the audience for that, and how do we really need to structure this story to best resonate with them so that they take away something from it, whether it's another message, which many fiction narratives have, or if it's just you want them to have a really amazing escape. There are different story structures that I've been really excited to have like analyzed over the past few years, and then worked with authors to help do that. I would say too, there's a lot that I'm able to take away from that. But one of the biggest things has honestly been challenging me creatively. I think it's easy sometimes, at least maybe this is just me, to get stuck in one space. Mm. And when you practice writing and you practice writing for different formats or different platforms, it really helps you to expand and grow in other areas as well. And I know I was having another conversation with, that's not always easy for marketers, because sometimes we're very niche focused. So
yeah, we kind of find what works and then apply it across the board.
Yeah. And so you almost have to be intentional or more intentional than most if you really want to broaden your horizon. And taking up these editing projects and working with authors has given me an avenue to challenge myself, to think differently, to be in a creative space that I would say translates into the brand strategy too. Hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you just tactically, like maybe, because especially the fiction writing, that's interesting. Can you give me an example of something where maybe you learned something in that fiction writing space, but then you applied it very tactically in more of a business sense with a brand?
Sure. So I would say storytelling structure. So anyone that's like fascinated with fiction writing, there's a book, it's called Save the Cat Writes a Novel.
Wait, what?
Save the Cat Writes a Novel.
Okay.
Okay. This book has been so wonderful to me the past probably 2 years in really thinking about story structure for different genres. And I have used this to then help with copy for social media. Mm. And effectively telling a story, which is totally different. I mean, here, if you're talking about a fiction novel, that's long format. We're talking thousands upon thousands of words, and social media is very different. But the way that this book outlines different story structures has really got me to think, okay, what is the best way for me to effectively communicate this story in a condensed message that is still going to resonate really well with my audience?
Wow. I think that's so important for our audience to catch here is that creativity is usually found at the intersection of cross-pollinating those disciplines, right? Like, especially, I mean, gosh, writing captions for, you know, reels, for example, is probably one of the least fun parts of the process, right? It's like, I want to put the video together, get the reel out and get it out. And okay, like I'll just run the transcript, make ChatGPT write it, like, you know, but like you said, that caption, being able to sort of bring in a thread from the fiction world and, you know, putting it through the filter, so to speak, of, okay, but this is going to be a business educational post. That's really where magic happens. That's really where special stuff happens, you know? And I want to ask you this. Do you think copywriting's dead with ChatGPT on the way?
Like, I think it's more important than ever.
So talk to me about that, because I know there's someone listening to this going, yeah, but ChatGPT can do it. Like, why would I hire a copywriter? Like, why would I hire someone to help me with my messaging? Can't I just train an AI to do it? I'm curious about how you think about that with how fast that AI is moving right now.
Yeah, it is. It's moving so fast. And I don't know that I'm the expert in it. I think it's an excellent resource. And I've certainly used it too, because as you and I both know too, when you're in this space, the balance of creativity, but also having to be very analytical can be quite taxing. Like my brain some days is just like, hey, I'm done. Like, there's nothing left to give.
Sure.
You've literally used both sides to their max.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a really good resource. And I know that there are a lot of people that have spent a lot of time like training for their space specifically for their brand. But I also see the missteps that we continue to make, or that people continue to make, where we can tell when you didn't write that. And if we're talking about how important storytelling and personal branding is and being able to connect with that brand, I don't know that I connect with your brand if I can immediately tell that you didn't put much thought
you didn't
into
even
that.
You didn't even take the line breaks out of it. Like,
right, you didn't.
And, yeah.
And, oh, I mean, did you tell it a story too? I think that
sure.
I don't know that it captures those real stories and those real connections, as well as the actual people do today. And so I think copywriting is still absolutely essential for every brand and every business, but also really strong editors. I think it's wonderful to use it as a resource, but it shouldn't become a crutch, because if it becomes a crutch and you're relying on it to do all of your writing, there's going to be a misstep down the road. And I think you risk sacrificing that trust that you really work to build with your brand, with your audience. And so it's a careful line that we all really have to be aware of today. And it's going to continue to change. And I think we all need to be like willing and ready to adapt with it. But don't lose sight of your brand, who you are, what your goals are, and lean on a tool that's not going to effectively communicate that.
Yeah, 100%. So for those of us who are not necessarily professional writers, what would be maybe one or two tips from the copywriting space that could immediately, you know, shift something in our business? So maybe a business owner is listening to this, or maybe, you know, an entry level marketer who, you know, they're not a professional writer. They haven't sort of, you know, been in those orbits that you have. What are one or two tips that could really kind of move the needle when it comes to that?
I have two. And I would say I practice these to this day. One, read a lot. And read a lot of different formats. So find those specific, if it's books, like authors that you really connect with or a certain genre, but then also web content, social media, read a lot. Mm. Read a lot. You will learn a lot from it. And then also, you don't get really good at writing unless you do it. And I know that that's so simple and that's really easy to say, but if you don't practice it, you won't perfect it.
Yeah.
You won't get better. And so it's kind of, I'll throw in the fiction writing example and the authors that I've worked with. You can't publish a book if you don't write it. And your first draft, it's not going to be perfect. And actually, if it is perfect, I'm going to question like what you used to write it. You have to be okay with it being really bad. And that is so hard. That's really, really hard to do. And I get that. And I think it's really natural for us to all struggle with it, but you have to practice it. And so that's too, where, you know, if you only work in social media as a marketer, to being intentional about, okay, like maybe I should try to write an article, even if that article doesn't go anywhere, just to exercise those different forms of copywriting, because you don't know when you're going to need that or want to use that down the road. And so those would be my two things: read a lot and then actually practice writing.
Yeah. I love that so much. That's so good. I mean, you know, and just from a leadership perspective, you know, we used to always say, and it's so cliche, but it's, you know, readers are leaders, you know, readers are leaders. And so, you know, I read somewhere one time that, like, if you read 10 books on any particular subject, you position yourself in sort of the top 5% of being an expert in that field, you know?
Wow.
And I love that. And I mean, you know, the reality is, you're going to be the same person in 5 years, except for the people you meet, the places you go, and the books that you read. And it's those three things that really, and you're 100% right. And I think just learning that discipline of reading, putting that into practice, it changes everything. And like I said, coming back to what we were saying before, I love that advice that you gave of read outside of your discipline, right? So if you're in marketing, don't read all marketing books, okay? Because after a while, it becomes this sort of echo chamber, right? But the most creative ideas are actually when, you know, you get outside of your discipline and you're able to bring in those different analogies, you know? So
it is. I think, I mean, I'm a big believer in having a mixture and really trying to, I try to be very intentional about reading across genres, sprinkling stuff in, reading different blogs, reading different news posts, articles. But you do, you have to be intentional about it. It won't just happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I love, this has been such an incredible conversation, Bree. I mean, before we head out, I want you to kind of throw out what sort of, I don't know what we're going to call this yet, but whatever, the varsity challenge, you know, just this idea of, you know, hey, what's one kind of challenge, one thing that you'd throw out to our listeners who, you know, they want to level up, right? They want to up their game, something that they can start doing right now, you know, to level up in their life, in their leadership, in their marketing. So again, that's super cheesy. We can't call it the varsity challenge. We got to call it something else. But just kind of a parting thought, sort of a final takeaway to help us level up.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I love the idea. So I would say, and I'll give this challenge to myself even, is to say yes to something new, something outside of your comfort zone, whether it's saying yes to taking a meeting that you're, or meeting with a new person that you have the opportunity to, but you haven't actually said yes because for whatever reason, you have these internal monologue telling you not to. Say yes to that. Or if it's a new class that you're like, okay, if I take this leadership class, if I take this marketing class, if I take this writing class, say yes to that new opportunity. Or I would say yes to that new idea. If you have that idea that has been just stewing in your mind for your brand or your business or your life, but you really haven't fully committed and said yes to it, do that. That's what I would say. I would say yes to something new, to take your life, your leadership, or your marketing to the next level.
I love it. That's incredible. Thank you so much. Bree Shoup, everybody. Hey, make sure to connect with you. How can we find you on socials? What you got going on right now? How can we, you know, follow up, work with you, all this stuff? Put the plugs in.
Sure. Oh, my goodness. Okay. So me personally, LinkedIn is probably the best place to connect
crush it. You crush it on LinkedIn. My gosh.
No. Thank you. LinkedIn is definitely the best place to connect with me. Would love to. I love growing my network and seeing what other people are doing too. So please there. You can also check out Invera on LinkedIn as well. That's where they are the most active. It's Invera Systems. Or you can visit them online, InveraSystems.com. I'm also going to plug The Craft Co. Also recommend them for LinkedIn. And the website is thecraft.co. And that's with a K, like the mac and cheese, but no relation.
Fantastic. I love it. Thank you so much, Bree. Appreciate you. See you soon.
Thank you.
Hey, fam. Thanks so much for joining us on Making Varsity. If you enjoyed this week's content, make sure to tap that subscribe button, leave us a rating and review, and share this episode with a friend. For more resources, check out the show notes below or join me on YouTube. Love you guys, and I'll see you next time.